Hey everyone, Pastor Harv here. Thank you for tuning in today. I hope this message blesses you with hope and energizes your walk with Jesus Christ. Share this with someone today and spread the joy to those in your life. Stay tuned to the very end. Let's jump right into the Word.
The psalmist David, the psalmist said this. He said, "You will show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy." This morning, if you can't celebrate him for anything else, know that we have a promise that we have joy in his presence. And right here, right now, this moment is for us. It's for you and it's for me. This is a time and a celebration of joy simply because we're in his presence. I don't have to worry about tomorrow. I'm not lost in the past. But right here and right now, I have a moment of joy because I'm in his presence. Amen. Woo. Glory. He said, "At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore." That means I have a promise for tomorrow. I may be here today, but tomorrow I may be with him. And when I am, there are pleasures at his right hand forevermore, forevermore, forevermore. I have an eternity to celebrate the goodness of God. I feel like I have a word for you this morning. I feel like God wants to say something to us. I feel like he quickened me right there a moment ago. And he said, "You tell someone in this house that I'm not finished, I'm not through, and I will do an impossible, impossible work in your life, in your family, in your situation. I will do an impossible work if you'll only believe and trust me." It begins right now in his presence. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn to someone and just tell them, "I love you today, and God has a promise that you will get out of this." Go ahead, tell them, "I love you today, and you have a promise that you will get out of this." Choir, you were fire. Musicians, brass, thank you for responding to the goodness of God, the presence of God, the flow of God, the anointing of God. Philip and Nicole, all of our young people, we're praying for you today. We love you. We miss you. Get back here safe and sound. And turn to your neighbor and tell them, "If you're comfortable, now let's stand for the reading of the word." Only if you're comfortable. I'd like to share with you today that Peter has something to say to us, this church, to you personally, but to this church, about transition. Peter has something to say to us about transition. We know there's an anointing in the upper room, but I fully believe today, I am convinced that there is anointing in transition. And God shows us how, and when, and where, and how. Acts chapter 12, verse 5. So Peter was kept in prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church to God. And on the very night, I paid attention to this, unlike I have never paid attention to it before. On the very night when Herod was going to bring him forward, what is he bringing him forward for? He is going to take his life just like he took the life of James. And you would say, there's no fun in that, no glory in that. Watch what God does and what he is doing. Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and guards in front of the door were watching over the prison. there are four squadrons of four soldiers each. There are 16 soldiers 24 hours a day that are shifting and watching and protecting. And because Peter's already gotten away one time, and Herod's not taking any chances. Then the next verse said, and behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared, and a light shone in the cell. I don't know about you, but I still believe that there are suddenlies in Scripture. I believe there are suddenlies in the Word of God. I believe there are suddenlies in our lives. When God turns our life upside down and works an incomprehensible miracle in our lives. And he struck Peter's side and he woke him up. I have a feeling that if there's an angel in the room, I'm going to know it. Peter's sleeping. And he wakes him up and he said, get up. And his chains fell off of his hands. And you know, the angel leads him out of the prison through two or three corridors, out through an iron gate and back into the city. And then when you go to verse 23, Herod flees, I believe it's to Caesarea, and there he is in a meeting, and they begin to worship him as a god. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote Herod because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. Go ahead and turn to a neighbor and tell them, what's eating you will not eat me. What may be eating you will not eat me. God, add your anointing to your word. I pray refreshing your people today. Encourage us, God, in solemn moments, in times of sorrow, in times of devastation, in times of challenge. God, I pray today that you would minister to us, that we would sense the breathing of the Holy Spirit upon us, that, God, we would know that you are God in an upper room, but you are God in transition, that you are God after the fact, after the storm, after the valley, after the trial. You're still God, and you're still on the throne. I love you. I adore you. You're worthy to be praised in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. What do you do when, as a Scottish missionary to the New Hebrides Islands, John G. Patton loses his first wife, and then 17 days later, he loses the child that she birthed? When no one is there, I'm speaking to someone, no one is there but Jesus, and you have to dig the graves yourself. When you and your second wife, years later, are surrounded by hostile tribesmen intent on burning you and your house to the ground. And you pray through the entirety of a terror-filled night, God, help us. Asking God to deliver you. What do? You keep trusting when daylight comes and the attackers suddenly abandon and move on and disappear out of sight. When you find out 1 year later that you have been invited into the presence of the chief of that very tribe. Chief of the tribe has been converted to Jesus, and you get the chance to ask him, what kept your soldiers from burning me and my wife and our home and our compound to the ground? And the chief answers with a question. He said, who were all those men there with you? And Patton says, there were no men there. And the chief says, there were hundreds of men in shining garments with swords in their hands. As a matter of fact, they encircled the entire mission, and we were afraid to move forward. I tell you what you do. You learn in a hurry that this is no fairy tale made up God, and that this God can get you out of anything that he so chooses. What do you do when upper rooms transition into prison cells? What do you do when shouts of praise become stone cold moments of silence? When decisions to serve
and hard choices we make bring no applause from certain segments of the crowd. When miracles seem to mean nothing and a resume of walking close to Jesus, the Son of God Himself, seems to land you behind prison bars. When instead of 120 shouting the high praises of God, 16 Roman soldiers now surround you 24 hours a day. When you know that Herod the Great, your grandfather, or the grandfather of Herod Agrippa, has tried to kill Jesus in Bethlehem. When you know that Uncle Herod Antipas is the one who took the life of John the Baptist, and now Herod Agrippa plans to kill you. This is not Acts chapter 2. This is Acts chapter 12, and you've already been through the shout, and you've been through the glory, and you've been through the visitation of the Holy Spirit. You've been through the euphoria of Pentecost. What do you do when COVID becomes a prison, when cancer binds your body, and there's no matter how hard you fight against it, betrayal wounds you at the very core of who you are? What do you do then? Do you remember that Peter has been to the mountain? Can we recollect that Peter has been in the presence of Jesus, and that God, he has heard the voice of God the Father Himself describe His Son, and this is the one in whom I am well pleased? Do we remember that Peter was in the room when Jairus' 12-year-old daughter got up from the dead and Jesus healed her and restored her? Do we remember that Peter stood in the presence of Moses and Elijah, heroes of the faith, men that knew how to pray, men who knew how to move in the Spirit of God and see miracles take place? Do we remember that Peter walked on the water in the storm of his life, that he heard God speak? It was Peter who said, "We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we were eyewitnesses to His majesty." When you have been privileged with that kind of power to see what Peter saw, how do you respond when you've been provoked now by a prison cell and a murderous king that wants to take you out just 10 chapters after Acts chapter 2? A prison cell you know that you don't deserve. A prison cell you didn't ask for. A prison cell that God Himself didn't put you in. How do you respond when everybody's not happy that Cornelius has been saved? How do you respond when not everyone's happy that you're stepping over the tracks and you're willing to include what was considered low-down, dirty Gentiles into the family of the Almighty God? That was just 2 chapters ago. We're in Acts 12. That was Acts chapter 10. It was explained in Acts chapter 11. What does Peter do? The Word says he sleeps. He slept. He had the nerve to sleep while the church was praying. We are in verse 6. And what kind of power lets you sleep between 2 prison guards? Now the question is, what kind of power gives you rest when the next day you may be executed for your faith? I mean, Herod pleased the Jewish people by taking out James. Herod pretended to be converted to the Jewish faith. He was born in Rome. He was raised and educated in Rome. He has taken the throne now in Jerusalem, in Israel, and he wants the favor of the people. He's trying to make life easier for himself, so he wants the people to believe, to think that he just goes along to get along, and that anything. And so now he decides to take out James, the brother of John. And I know one of your first questions is this, and we'll dig into it. How does Peter get out?
when James loses his life, what kind of fare is that? He pleases the Jewish people. He takes out James. Why not Peter? What kind of power allows you to ignore enemies on both sides of the fight and the argument while you sleep? That is the transitional power of the Holy Ghost. Listen, hopefully I'm going to dig a little deep this morning, and it may not, it's not deep at all to me, Pastor, but you'll take this home and chew on it. Hopefully it'll help somebody. It'll help me. It'll help you. What do you do? What kind of power allows you to ignore the argument and the fight, and you just keep seeking God? Hear me well this morning. This is not Peter who cuts off the ear of the enemy soldier in anger, in brashness, in a moment of uncontrolled passion. Peter stands up for Jesus and he cuts the ear of a soldier off. And the whole time he did it, he's still loving Jesus. I know some of y'all are thinking, don't look to the left. I know somebody, they cut somebody's ear off in a minute and say they love Jesus through it all. I love Jesus, but give me that ear right now. This is not Peter who says, "You'll never wash my feet." This is not the same Peter that denies Jesus three times. The power, here somebody needs to hear this, not here, but also out there that I'm speaking to today. The power of the Holy Ghost will let you sleep. And we need some people to sleep and shut up. Pastor, I've been praying for permanent sleep for that person for a long time. Peter did what he did and he still loves God. He says, "You won't wash my feet. I've denied him three times. I've cursed his name, yet I'm sleeping now." What is this? This is transitional power in the life of a believer. Everything is not a shout and a "how do you do." Everything is not speaking in tongues and laying hands. Sometimes you've got to sleep and transition in what God's trying to do in the life of the church. This is quiet when everybody else wants to talk. This is what happens after the shout. This is what happens in the troubled life of a believer. Something, are you now picking up on the fact that something is transitioning in the life of Peter the apostle? What did I do when the mouths of devils broke bread and whispered about me? When someone without a clue listens to people without a clue? When someone tries to lock me up, when the Spirit's trying to get me out, I slept. Why? Because God is now moving me forward. I had some good traits and qualities back there, but this is a day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it today. God is moving me and the church and us forward. Devils hate it when you can sleep through a storm. And if they don't have something to tell, they'll make up something to tell. Watch this. This may not mean a thing to you, but it means something to me. Remember Jesus? You remember the Son of God? Remember the Savior of the world? Do you remember he is in a boat on a storm-tossed sea? And it may have been Peter, it may have been two or three of the other disciples. They're all going, "Lord, how in the world can you sleep when there's a storm going on like this?" And Jesus gets up and he calms the storm. He brings everything back to normal. He heals. He makes whole. He delivers. Do you see what's happening? Transition.
I didn't go look this up in some book. I didn't go read it from here online. Or I'm telling you, transition is taking place in the life of Peter. I've shouted high hallelujahs. I've worshiped God with all of my might. The Spirit of God is no less real in my life, but I've got some maturity under my belt. I've got some godliness and holiness and righteousness under my belt, and I can stay calm in a storm. Why? Because Jesus did it then. I can do it now. I can. When chains meant to hold you become a testimony to the number of times that they fell off, I slept. When my circumstances are not what I want my circumstances to be, I can rest. I will make it through this. I can sleep through it because God is in control. What do you do when upper rooms transition into prison cells? When the walls are too big for me to climb, I can sleep. When you thought Judas was a brother, I can still sleep. When Herod wants me dead, I can sleep. I will rest. I will make it through this because God is in control. What happens when James, the brother of John, one of the disciples, is killed by Herod in verse 2? That's not fair. How does that happen? How does he not get out of it and Peter gets out of it? That can't be biblical. That can't be God. God can't be in the middle of that. That's not an easy deal. Do you really remember James? Do you really remember James and John? Matthew 20 and 20. Their mother tries to manipulate the circumstance. She's a little restless, and she says, will you let James and John, my two boys, rule with you on your right and your left hand in the kingdom? And Jesus says, well, first of all, that's not mine to give. But Jesus asks a penetrating question that all of a sudden makes sense in Acts chapter 12. He says to James and John, are you able to drink the cup that I drink? And I never noticed it before. There's this little line tucked in there, Brother Stephen. There's this little line that I just bypassed. And they said, yes, Lord, we are able. Probably had no idea what they were getting themselves into. Jesus comes back with a comment and he says, you have well said that you are able. He said, because you will drink of the cup that I drink. And I want to tell you today, I understand. Listen, I get it. We go through tragedies. We go through trials, unexpected interruptions. Man, it messes our life. It messes with our mind. It messes with our spirit. But listen, the great thing about James and John and Peter and the disciples and all of us who live faithfully unto God, we have a testimony to share. And when our testimony is finished here, it's time for God to call us home. And I've got some good news today. What you thought was a tragedy may have been the divine will of God. And I know it's tough on us now, but one day we will be joined together again with them and with him around the throne of grace and the throne of glory. And we will celebrate the goodness of God. Why? Because we were faithful until our testimony was finished. Woo! Joe lost his job, but constant prayer was made by the church. We forget that about 20 years later, according to some theologians, Peter will be crucified upside down for the cause of Jesus Christ. He too will pay an incredible price. He is in prison, but the word says the church is praying fervently. Joe lost his job, yes, but the church is praying. Karen Taylor, I don't know, she may be out today, but I know she has gone through it in the last few years. But God is faithful. The church is still praying for her. The church still loves her. The church is still lifting her up. I know today, Bart, that you may be going through it, but God is faithful. He loves you, and we love you, and we care. And if I've got anything to do with it, I'm going to pray, and I'll call on heaven, and I'll seek the face of God on your behalf. I'll call you by name, and I'll lift you up with the authority that I have in the blood of Jesus Christ the Lord. The church is praying its guts out. That's just an old Chattanooga, that's Southern, I'm just praying. I mean, they're praying like they're, don't you think it's a little ironic that while the church is praying in intercession, everything they've got, the whole while they're praying for him, Peter's asleep. Can't you hear people? We are praying with everything we got, and they're over there snoozing. I'm praying, I'm speaking in tongues, I'm calling on God, I'm prophesying, some are prophesying, and Peter's sleeping. You know what? I've had it. I'm not praying for Peter anymore. He's not very spiritual. He's not measuring up to my standards. No, maybe they're just carrying the cross that God told them to carry. Maybe they're just obeying the voice of God over their life and over their heart and over their soul. Maybe they're beaten. Turn to your neighbor and tell him Peter's asleep. Sometimes you are praying for someone else's peace of mind and not your own. And then it blows my mind that while they are, Patrick, while they are praying fervently for Peter's release, he shows up and they don't believe it. That while the big iron gate, read the word, that leads to the city opens all by itself, church can't, Peter can't get into the church that's praying for him. We try to control so many dimensions and aspects of our lives and mainly for the lives of others and God. Have you ever seen those little commercials that little girl said? She said, Dad's trying to tell her how to take care of her. She said, take care of yourself. Take care of yourself. Peter can't get inside the church that's praying for him. It was Peter that said in 1 Peter 1:7, the trial of your faith is more precious than gold. Though it be tried with fire, it might be found to praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, and though now you see him not, you believe, and you rejoice with joy unspeakable that is full of glory. I tell you today, Peter is in transition. I can't see him, but I can sleep. I'm not on the mountain this time, but I can sleep. The dead aren't being raised right now around me, but I can sleep. I'm not walking on the water in this storm, but I can sleep. Peter said in 1 Peter 1:11, it was testified that Christ would suffer, but that glory would follow him. You can only keep me in prison for so long. You can only bind up my spirit for so long. I will get out of this. How do you know? Because God's done it for me before. And he will, the old song says, do it again. He is faithful. You can only hold me back for so long. I will move forward. And when I move forward, glory is coming with me. Why? Because I have a promise in his word. God said, it is so in my life. Would you clap your hands in this house and praise him this morning? Hey, how many of you know today the holy wind of God is at your back? Just because you're in Acts chapter 12 doesn't mean that Acts chapter 2 didn't happen. And because Acts chapter 2 happened, I've got the wind of God at my back when I'm in transition in my life. Hey, just give me a little more and we'll go home. Not more sound, a little more time, a little more time. Turn to someone and just tell them, I believe that my church prays. If you don't believe it, don't lie about it. But if you, I believe that my church prays. I believe that my equip pastor, my equip teacher, leader prays. When the spirit of Herod starts raising up, God has a church that will pray. Brian Ballou, God is faithful. God's church, real church, is faithful. Prison walls can't confine you because God has a church that will pray. Anger and resentment and jealousy will not control your life and your speech because God has people who will pray. Herod can threaten you, but he cannot define you because God has people who will pray. When we pray in truth, there is a resistance to ungodly characteristics in the church. If you've got people that are praying and know how to touch heaven, people who are ungodly, people who have motives that are contrary to unity in the body, God starts showing you the Herods around you, and God promises that he will handle every Herod in your life. Listen, if you won't pray for me, you can't help me. If you can talk to me, but you can't pray for me, you can't help me. I need a church that can pray me out of the spirit of Herod when he's trying to hold me in. I need a church that can touch heaven while the spirit of Herod pulls me through hell. I need a church that can release angels when Herod releases anxiety and animosity. I want you to know what's happening. Two people are being affected by the church praying, Brooke, like they're praying. Two people are being affected by this. Not only is Peter being affected, but Herod's being affected. And if you'll pray for Peter, and you'll pray for John, and you'll pray for Mark, and you'll pray for those in the body, while you're praying for them, God's already taking care of their enemies. You don't have to pray damnation and hell on everybody you know that's not right with God. On presidents and politicians and on governors. Pray for God to save them and to change them and to turn their life around and get them out of the prison that they're in. Hey. Can you reach up right now and will you release angels on this church? Will you release angels into our presence today? Will you pray for God's will to be done and God's power to be released and for God to touch and to heal those that are sick, to cure cancer, to make those whole that need the touch of God on their life? I know some people, their bitterness is worse than any cancer that could ever haunt the human body. Stay with me. I think God, we can learn. I'm learning myself. I think there's something we can learn. Unless your character has changed, you don't get out of prisons like this. Acts 2, Acts 12, transition. If your character doesn't change, if you're still hoopley-doopy-dopping and speaking in tongues, and I'm awful, I believe that. I was raised in it. I believe it with all of my, I believe it's the gift of God. But you can have all of that in your life, and your character doesn't change. You will never transition into someone who can sleep through a prison. Some people love the upper room. But boy, they struggle with transition. This is where you do the nuts and bolts of real intercessory prayer that connects you and others to God. Listen to what I'm telling you. Prayer is contention. Prayer is contention with hell. It is not contention with brothers and sisters in the body. I say it again. Prayer is contention with hell. When you pray, you break down strongholds. But it is not to judge your brother and judge your sister as more than or less than. It is not to stir it up and keep something going all the time because somebody doesn't pray like you or sing like you or worship like you. I tell you what, I love God. I want to run. I want to shout. I want to dance. But there are times when I have to transition. my life. Lift your hand. Help us! Prayer in the church helps people. Do you know why Herod is angry? Do you know why he kills James, the brother of John, with the sword? Do you really know why Herod puts Peter in prison? These are not immature issues for immature people. The spirit of Herod will get you killed. You remember the story at the beginning? They saw the angels surrounding in defense. And they spared their lives. Steve Saint's father, that was his last name, Saint. You can hardly go wrong with that. It was seen. His father was one of five missionaries killed by the Alca Indians in Ecuador. One of five. Steve went back to those very people and built an airstrip so that other missionaries could get in and share the hope of the gospel. Amen. He found this out. He wasn't there at that time. When his dad and those other missionaries were attacked, every one of those missionaries had a gun. They could have shot their way out and lived to tell about it. But they never shot a shot into an individual. When the Alca Indians were killing those five missionaries, do you know what happened? They looked up and they saw a multitude of angels in the heavens after the fact, praising and magnifying God for those that had been faithful to the Almighty God. They heard them singing the praises of God, and it led them after the fact to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Sometimes angels get you out of a burning house, but sometimes they show up in places of sorrow and loss. But it is God, and He is faithful when we go through the transition. Stand with me all over this house. Please turn to someone and tell them God is sovereign and He will get you out of this. Don't you find it more than ironic that the church is praying and angels are showing up for Peter? No, 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 Peter, come this way. Go that way. And they don't even know God's at work. They're praying, hoping. But God's at work. Sometimes it just may be that God's at work in my life. Come here, Nicholas. I said, why did I sit on the second row today? And old Nicholas, congratulations on this week. And by the way, but Nicholas is trying to pull me this way. Maybe you're trying to pull me that way. Because I love you, I want to please you. And I really do want to hear your heart. And I really do respect how you think. I want to know how you think. But all the while, oh, this couldn't be more perfect. This little angel, smile real big for the camera. This little angel is leading me when no one else knows it. Thank you. There's an angel that has you by the hand. There's an angel that God has assigned to you, to you, and to you. And I love you, God.
divine appointment and your divine touch. What is life? And the same. The voice shake out of the water. And the same. Will you lift your hands all over this house? Oh, Shekatalaba, transition, Shitalaba, Rundalaba. Transition. You just say, Pastor, I love the Lord with all of my heart. I need God to help me with transition right now. Would you, don't delay and don't wait. Will you step out from where you are? I want to pray with you this morning. I need God to help me with transition. Anyone? I'm not personally real thrilled with my transition right now. I'm not real happy about this prison cell, but oh God, please. Unless you're coming to be prayed for, please don't move this morning. God help me with this trend, come now. Please come quickly. I need God to help me in this time of transition. I don't want anyone coming to pray for anyone else right now. But if you need help with transition, that's okay if you did, that's fine. These people right here, every one of them represent Peter. I need you to be the church that prays fervently for the touch and the help of God. Will you do that right now? Will you lift up holy hands without rising down all over this auditorium? Or will you pray for them? If you know them by name, call them by name, God. I love you.
Well, I hope you were blessed and inspired somehow by today's message. Here at Summerton Church of God, we believe that God still does the miraculous. We are seeing people's lives changed and transformed, healed and delivered, all to the glory of this incredible God. We want you to experience that for yourself and for your family. Why don't you be our guest one Sunday right here at Summerton Church? I look forward to personally seeing you.